And I read out of the NIV. Most of it is out of the NIV. If I'm not, I hope that I explain. I'm in King James, or I'm in Amplified or something like that. But usually I'm out of the NIV. In Genesis 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, right, God created. In the beginning, God created. Now, man kind of tries to screw that up a little bit. But in the beginning, God created. And in the Amplified, it says, by forming from nothing. Okay? He had nothing. He formed it from nothing, the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2, the earth was formless and void, or a waste of emptiness and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and it says primal ocean of covered the unformed earth. And then the next sentence, it says, the Spirit of God was moving, and it says hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. So there it was. There he is, the Spirit of God, okay? In the beginning, in the very beginning, was the Spirit of God. If you skip over, it goes on, and if we stay in Genesis with that Spirit, and the difference, a lot of times, the difference in the Old Testament and the difference in the New Testament is that the Spirit, God would put the Spirit upon people or on people, right? And in some cases, he would take it off, okay? But again, in Genesis with Adam, right? Because Adam had it, right? Adam and Eve, they had this, right? They were in the garden. They were together. But what it takes it, that's when Adam sinned, right? When he took it, God takes it away from him. He took the receiver, you could say, away from him. Okay, when he took the Spirit from him, when he kicked him out of the garden, he lost it. He lost it. He's a body, soul, and spirit. Amen. But he took the Spirit from him. Okay? So when he kicked him out, okay, so God puts a Spirit upon people to deliver messages. Okay? So that's part of that in the Old Testament. Now, again, we're in the Old Testament. We're just in Genesis. So you have to understand that God is Spirit, and God puts the Spirit into people to communicate with them, right? Now, it does go on, okay? And then in Exodus, if we just move to Exodus 31, in Exodus 31, in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Ur, in the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with the kinds of skills. So he gives them even craftsmen, right? If you keep on reading, they were going to build things, right? But what he did is, on a craftsman, he put the Spirit of God with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all the kinds of skills. If you keep reading, he does it to another person too. He gives this to them, okay, so they can do things. But what it is they're building craftsmen, they're building, well, you could say furniture, they're building things, but part of that is God has put on them to do this, okay? And if you move to Numbers, let's go to Numbers 22. The old buddy Balaam. he was kind of a prophet for hire, if you will. And long story longer is he gets hired. Well, what he does is he comes down. And now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many of them. And Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. So what's he going to do? He's going to hire, right, Balaam to put a curse on the Israelites. So what happens in 22 and in 23, and as you read it, Balaam just is going to repeat what God says. And of course, God is not going to curse his people, right? Why would God curse his people? Just to curse them, right? Now, sometimes there was a reason, and that goes throughout their history. But why would God curse his people? So, but the king wants him because he's afraid of the Israelites. So what he does, he's going to hire a prophet. He goes, here's the money. Go curse him. He goes, I can't do that. He goes, well, why can't you do that? Because God has told me they're blessed. They're his chosen people. But what he was just afraid of what was going to happen to him and his people. So he does that a few times. He asks them, and he goes, man, you're letting me down. You're letting me down. But what happens then in 24, the Israelites were encamped on the eastern side of the Jordan. Okay, so he's still Balaam. He's still trying to curse him. He said, but Balaam looked out and he saw the Israel camp tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came on him and he spoke a message. Okay, but what he does is he talks to him. He can't curse his people. He can't curse these. Now, not that he was an Israelite or anything. He just can't curse these people because they've been blessed by God. Okay? Is it true for us today? If you're blessed by God, how can you be cursed? There's no way. Now, everybody gets in a bad rut. Everybody has an accident. It does happen. But if you are blessed by God and you know it, you can't be cursed. No one, no thing can curse you. Right? Nothing. Nothing. It can't happen. It cannot happen. Amen? Amen? Amen. And this is even the Old Testament, okay? This is Old Testament, but it's even true today. It's probably even truer today, right? But we may let things happen, right? We may let things happen that lead us down maybe the wrong path because what? We haven't prayed to God. We haven't asked for direction. We haven't asked that. But every time God came to Balaam, okay, every time he went to pray, God said, you're not going to curse him. You're not. It's not going to happen. Now, to his credit, he does get credit for that, but if you keep reading, he does lead Israel away from God, if you will. He does do that. But at this time, in these chapters, he does do the right thing. Amen? Amen. And again, it's his decision, right? He could either follow God or not. And he follows God. At this time, he follows God. Praise God. How about the wonderful book of Judges? Right? God raises up judges to help Israel, to literally save Israel from the oppression, right? For whoever was oppressing them, whether it was the Philistines, right, Amorites, whoever it was, God raises up. But again, his spirit is on them, right, to raise up Gideon, right, to raise up Samson, just to name a few, Deborah, right, just to name a few. But he uses that. He uses his spirit on people to save his people. Amen? In Joel 2 and in 28, I think Deborah talked about this was going to be our scripture of the week. Joel proclaims, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young women will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivor whom the Lord calls. Amen. In Joel, okay, even written, foretold of what's going to happen. Again, prophesies of what's going to happen, the coming Messiah. Right, what's going to happen? But Old Testament, okay? Excuse me. And in back in Numbers, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's, this is Numbers 11 and in verse 16, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent and meeting, and we will stand there with you. I will come down and speak to you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. He's going to share the power, right? But it's going to take the Spirit, the power, the Spirit that was on Moses, and he's going to share it with the elders. They'll have the same Spirit. Not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit, and it is true today. It is the same Spirit. Amen? Amen? And they will share in the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. That's what Moses, and if you go back and read it, trying to manage a couple million people, that could be a problem, okay, for one person. So what does he do? The 70 elders, and they split it up, okay? But they get the Spirit on them, right? From Moses, they get the Spirit on them, and that helps them. So they just didn't do it. He just didn't go, okay, take 70 people and go ahead. No, the Spirit of God was on them. Okay? Amen. Isaiah 63, verse 60. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so that they turned and became their enemy and himself fought against them. Then as Moses recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people, they were there who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock. Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them? And that's that reference that he's talking about. Okay, he used the Holy Spirit to lead the people. Amen? Do we do that today? Do we use the Holy Spirit to lead people? Yes, we do. Yes. Yes, we fast and pray. We try to lead, right? We try to get the vision. We try to get that. Amen. Amen. Should you do that in your own households? Amen. Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Should you do it in your daily life? Absolutely. Should you do it at work? Amen. Absolutely. Should you do it in school? Right, teenagers? Right. Right. Absolutely. To guide your life. Amen. But again, in the Old Testament, again, he pours out his Spirit. Now, sometimes God took the Spirit off people too, right? So, I mean, he gave his Spirit to people, to like judges. So, I mean, he can communicate, the power is on you, right? He raised up a judge, right? And they would go conquer and fight against the Philistines or whoever. But sometimes he took the Spirit off people. Let's go to 1 Samuel in 16. Well, let me back up. Let's go to 15. This is where Samuel I'm sorry, this is Saul. This is King Saul. Samuel was the prophet. Amen. In chapter 15, again, I'll paraphrase. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you as king." Okay. Over to his people to Israel to listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Almighty says: "I will punish the Amalekites, okay, for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt." So this is going to be punishment, okay? And this is what Saul was supposed to do. And if you keep reading from that, he was supposed to destroy them. He was going to put to death men, women, children, everybody, okay? Even cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys, everyone, okay? But what does Saul do? Okay, because Saul, right, was anointed. He was gone. But what does he do? He's about men. So they go out down there and they destroy him. It's a big, big victory. But Saul doesn't kill. He takes the best of the herds. He takes the best of them and he gives them to the men, right? Kind of like a reward. But he doesn't follow what God had told him to do. Okay? Now, I know that doesn't happen here, because, right, when we hear from the Word of God, right, when we fast and pray and we hear what the Lord has told us to do, I know we go and do it. Amen? Crickets. Myself included. Amen? Right. So I'm not pointing fingers at Saul, but what Saul does, he goes, they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they've totally destroyed. So what they did is they just took the weak cattle, the weak stuff, and they killed those, but the best stuff they kept. And what he did, kind of like a reward for the men that were with him, you know, kind of in battle, right, you get everything that's left over, and that's what he did. And it wasn't kind of payment, he just did it, okay? When the Lord came to Samuel, I regret, and then this is verse 10, 1 Samuel 15:10. Says, I regret that I have made Saul king. That comes from the Lord. That's not from any king, well, you could say the king, right? Because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Okay. Now this is what the prophet Samuel is. He's going to have to deliver this message. Okay. And he does. He delivers the message to Saul. So what happens? What happens to him? Saul realizes that I have sinned. He says, I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid, and this is in verse 24, I was afraid of the men, excuse me, and so gave in to them. Now I beg for you, forgive my sin and come back with me that I may worship the Lord. Okay. He tried to be popular with the men. Okay, with the people. Does that happen to us? We try to be, right? We try to, you may pray to the Lord, like, you know, I didn't receive that, but family or something, right, says, you know, I need this money for something or whatever, and he's like, you know, I didn't receive that, but we give it to him anyway, right? And what happens? Right, we didn't follow what the Lord, I didn't receive that from the Lord. I didn't receive that. Right, again, Old Testament, okay, Old Testament. Okay, and in chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, right, he goes to, who does he find? He finds David, right? David was a boy, okay, and Samuel's trying to anoint, right? He goes to the go to the sons of Jesse. He's going to anoint him, but what does he tell him? He says, don't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. So he anoints David, and David was a boy, and he gets anointed. He gets anointed to be king. Okay. In verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Okay, again, Old Testament. Okay, so he took it back from him and gave him an evil spirit to torment him. Okay, and in verse 23, so what David does is they go out and try to find, they realize that music calmed the soul, if you will, which is still true today. Okay, whenever the spirit from God, in verse 23, whenever the spirit of God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Amen. But he never really shook it. He never really shook it. He never, when God took the anointing, when God took the spirit from him, he never got it back. And then David had it. Amen. Speaking of David, in Psalms 51, Psalms 51, and I'm in the NIV, 51:10. And now what has happened is this is a psalm when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Okay. Now this took probably about a year or so of David living in sin, if you will, of hiding from God. Okay. And in Psalms 51 in verse 10, David prays and he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew your steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So what does David knew that he had sinned, right? But a man after God's own heart, right? Create in me a pure heart, okay? Do not cast from your presence or take away the Holy Spirit from me. Okay, so David had the anointing. David prays, don't take it away from me, right? I'll do better, right? But he appeals. You could say he almost repents. Amen. And God doesn't. God doesn't take that anointing from him. Amen. So in the Old Testament, and again, this is just a review of what Pastor was going over. Okay, so I just want to just make a just review, if you will, just to bring back to memory about where the Spirit came from. Amen. Amen. That it has been around all the time. It's been here all the time. Amen. And with the fall, with Adam, okay, but it's been here, and God always has a plan. Amen. He always has a plan for you. Okay, for us. Okay, so in the Old Testament, again, it was upon us. It was on us. It never really left, but again, God could put it on people. He could share the same spirit with people. Okay, have them do craft, do whatever they wanted to do, lead people, make things. The Spirit would be on them. And then he could take the Spirit away from them. Amen? Amen. I just wanted to cover the Old Testament with everyone. Okay, I just want to be clear. Next week I'll move into the New, just to separate it. But I wanted to let you know that we'll just review that. And again, this really is a review of Wednesday's class of the body, soul, and spirit. So if you want more of that, more of the spirit, Wednesday's class is a excellent, excellent class to attend to. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.